Well, I battled hard to get here this week. So that tells me that the Lord loves somebody enough here that needs to be encouraged, maybe. And maybe they're going through a storm. We all go through them. And so hopefully my goal today is, it's going to be a little different. This is the first time I have spoken in a church for about 3 years now. So bear with me, be patient. I want to be able to take you on a helicopter ride, as my friend says, and trace the hand of God in my life and share just a little bit of the story that he's been writing with you. So with that being said, you probably have already picked up that I have an accent, right? So I am not from the north, although I've lived here for about a little over 2 years now. But I'm originally from Arkansas, northwest Arkansas. So you hear the hillbilly. But these past couple years, about 2 years ago, I did something that I'd been wanting to do for a long time and never had the time, but the Lord had given me that time, and that's to see where you come from. Has anyone ever kind of researched their background, where they come from? You know, where's your great-grandma from? Where's your great-great-great, where's that kind of thing? And so what I discovered is that on my dad's side, he's a baby of 11, and my great-great-grandmother was named Rebecca Peoples, and she was from Baltimore, I think it's Maryland, is that the state, Baltimore? And so at 16, she joined a wagon train, a revival wagon train, and came to Arkansas to minister to the Indians in the mountain that were running around wild at the time. And she met an Indian there named Columbus Farmer, who became her husband. And they would have children, and at about the age of 32, she was murdered. Don't really know why, but trace that back to that. And then she had one of her children, then had a daughter that was my grandma, who was my Granny Smith. And she was a missionary. She was a, I'm going to give you a background. I was raised in a Pentecostal background, but, you know, the Lord, he uses everything, right? So she was a Pentecostal preacher. But one thing I got from my granny was she had a love for music. And she was a worshiper. And I look back, and I got that from her. And so the flip side, my mom's side, it's a little bit more dark. They came from the Virginia, went down into Tennessee, but they were plantation owners, which meant they were slave owners. And as I began to read that book and some of the things, it turned my stomach, and I really didn't finish it for a long time. And not only that, there's some murderers in that line, and there were some rapists in that line. So I guess you could say I'm a outlaw missionary. So that's where I come from. That's my background. I have the outlaw version and the missionary version. So with that being said, I was born in Arkansas, raised in Arkansas, came from a home that was dysfunctional. There was a lot of abuse in the home, alcohol at the time, as when I was young. And I was told at a very young, early age that God had made a mistake when I was born, that I was supposed to have been a boy and not a girl. And so, you know, words, they do things, and they stick with young children, even adults. And it forms the way you think about yourself and God. And so it didn't take me long to realize that I didn't like him. It didn't take me long to realize that he was my enemy and I was his enemy, and that's what I thought. And so I want to just helicopter fast forward. About 10 years old, there was a whirlwind that entered my life. And I had been sent to church with my grandma at that point for about a year. And I was sexually assaulted and abused by a leader in the church that started then and lasted till about 14. And so I'm not going to go into a lot of details of that, but I wasn't the only one. But it was an assault that had religion mixed with it. And so guess what? My view of God still was not good. So when you're abused like that and scripture is read to you, it's just, it's not a good thing. And so I turned to the one thing that I knew to turn to, and that was I became a substance abuse with alcohol, started with that, then it went to every drug that you could think of. And I was on the streets, and I was a outlaw. And I was doing things that you guys know, you've been on the streets, breaking the law. And at 22, I found myself, after many stints with the law, I fought the law, and the law won. So I ended up breaking into a cop's house. Do not recommend that. If you're going to pick a law to break, don't break that one, okay? So, but when you're under the influence of drugs, and you've been up for 27 days with no sleep, and you want to impress this man in your life, you do things that you normally wouldn't do. And so at 22, I ended up being sent to a maximum security prison in Arkansas, where I spent the next 12 years of my life. And you think, man, that was a stiff sentence. Well, there's some background to that, too, that I don't have time today to get into, but as Ken said, the Lord works all things for the good. Now, I didn't love him at that point, and I didn't really know him, but that day was coming. And I went into that unit, and of course, when you're 22 and you're looking at, you know, 12 years to the door before you get out, which means I would have been 34. Don't start doing the math. I know I don't look over 30 now, so maybe after this week I might have aged a little bit. But I knew, I was like, okay, what's my game plan here? And so my game plan was I was going to go in there and act crazy so people would leave me alone and think that she's unstable and they wouldn't bother me, okay? But when I got there, I found out there were crazier people than myself there. So new game plan. And anyway, fast forward, the Lord began to draw me. There was people there in the unit that the Lord used, but there was a program there that it was a faith-based program. And I didn't want to go in there at first. I was leery of it. I watched it for a little bit. I joined the other inmates that used to bash it, and I would call it the God pod. That's what we called it. And didn't really want nothing to do with that. But the Lord knew, and so eventually I folded under the pressure, and I said, okay, I'm going to go see what this is about. And so I was in this program. It was originally like a six-month program. You would live in that barracks, and then after graduation, you would go out into the unit. And so I was listening to things that I've never heard before. I was hearing about a God that did want me and did love me and didn't make a mistake with me. I was hearing about salvation of someone that would take someone like me and wash them clean and give them a new identity that was in him. And that appealed to me because I knew who I was and I knew what I'd done and I knew that it didn't match who he said I was yet. But on December 21st of 2000, after months of hearing the gospel, my life changed that day. Now, doesn't mean it didn't have difficulties afterwards or that it was all roses. But that day, the Lord bore witness with my spirit that I was his child. And he showed me my sin, and I hit my face in my cell, and I asked him if he could do something with the ruins of my life to do it. And I got up from that concrete floor, went down a sinner, and I got up a child of God. And so from that day forward, it's been times of peace and serenity, but there's also been whirlwinds. We had a big storm come through over where I'm from this weekend. Did y'all have any of that here? It was, you know, it was kind of looking tornadic. The dust was going around. You know, I'm from the South. We kind of watch it whenever tornadoes come through. We sit on the porch and videotape it till it gets right on you. You know, and then we're like, oh, time to go to the cellar. And so that's what I was kind of doing. After my week, I was just like, you know what? This storm is actually beautiful. And so I just sat on my porch, watched my pillow go across, watched my cups go across. Then my dogs were like getting scared. I was like, oh, yeah, my dogs are out here. I might want to let them in. So let them in. But storms, they can be tragic. They can cause damage. There's also beauty in them. And if you're like Job, when the storms came in his life, the scripture that I want to share is something that I've been reading for about a month now, and a friend's been reading with me, but it's Job 38, and it's just one little phrase. And it said that God spoke to Job in the whirlwind. And it's amazing when everything around us is going crazy, and we can't sometimes hear his voice or see what he's doing. If we just get silent enough, he will speak to us in the whirlwind. And so I've experienced that in my life. So fast forward, the Lord did a lot in my life. Got out of prison May the 31st of 2011. Do the math, I think it's what, like 14 years coming up now? So I've been out now more than I was in. Yes. I passed the statistic. I didn't go back as an inmate. And but what the Lord did do is he gave me an opportunity after a year being out of prison to go back into the same prison and serve as a chaplain for the next 10 years in the same prison that I was an inmate for 12 years. And during that time, you know, he was doing a lot, but also there was a lot the enemy was doing. And not going to go into deep details, but in 2014, I had another whirlwind come into my life 3 years after I'd been out of prison. And I had seen the storm way before it was exposed. The Lord has a tendency to place me around leadership that sometimes is not what they seem to be. They may be all smiles and they have everybody convinced on the outside, but behind closed doors, it becomes a living nightmare. Some of you might have been in those situations. Long story short, the chaplain that I had become saved under and was under for 14 years and was my pastor when I got out was charged with 50 counts of rape of inmates and sexual assault. And he didn't really get charged with all that he could have got charged with. And he ended up doing 2.5 years in prison, which is not enough. And I was the one that Lord used to bring a lot of that to light. And that wasn't easy. I got retaliated against. I got accused of trying to destroy his ministry because he was in a position where everybody would believe him. He's the believable one. I'm the convict. So, but the Lord knows those things that are done in secret. And light outshines darkness. And he makes all things right eventually. And so I had to trust him with that battle. And there's a lot that's happened, you know, since then. But I came up here, actually. Sandy has been a long time friend of mine in the ministry that she works for. And kind of had a 3 months of healing. I didn't think that was enough, but I guess the Lord did. And the Lord called me back. That's when he called me back to that prison to be a chaplain, because they didn't have anyone. And so I knew that it was going to be hard because he had spent those 3 months basically discrediting anything that I would say. And so the Lord opened those doors and I walked in, some friends with me, and women that I had served and known and done life with. I got spit on by one. I got yelled at by several. And the Lord wouldn't let me defend myself. He said, you go in and you keep your head down and you do what I've called you to do. And it didn't take long before people started watching and he began to defend and justify, as what we've heard this morning, those that were oppressed. And he began to shine light in the darkness that had been going on in that prison. And so, fast forward, the Lord gave me a vision to open a home for women coming out of prison, because I saw a need while I was in prison. It was a revolving door of women that kept coming back. They would get out for 6 months, they'd go out and they'd come back, and I'd be like, what's the deal? Give me a chance to go out. I am not coming back. What are y'all doing here? You know? And every time across the board, it was the same story. We don't have any support out there. The church doesn't want us. These people don't want us. We go back to the, we give up. We go back to the same friends and places. And we end up in the same situations, making the same decisions. And I thought, there's got to be a place. There's got to be a safe place for us to land when we get out. I thought it would be the church, but my experiences with the church has proven that's not always necessarily true. Now, I'm not saying, not trying to talk bad about the church, so don't throw tomatoes at me yet. I love the church, actually. That's a short story. That's one of the places the Lord called me to when I was in prison, and we had a big argument about that. But so I thought, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? And so the vision was birthed then to open a home. And in 2016, that home opened, and started off with 8 women that grew to, oh goodness, I want to say we had 25 at the time, grew into several different ministries. During COVID, the Lord, we were on the street. One thing about it, COVID hit, everybody had COVID. It was surely everybody's had it by now, as long as it's been around. I had it 5 times, okay? So I think I have immunity. They could probably make a vaccine from myself. No, just kidding. But we won't go there on that stuff. But I had COVID, but during that time, chaplains weren't going into prison. If you think COVID was scary out here, try being incarcerated. Try having everything that you, your connections from the outside world cut off. No more visits from family. Officers don't come in around you. You don't know what's going on. You're limited to information. You don't know what's going on. People are dropping around you like flies. And your world has just the whirlwind. Because the people that did come in, the volunteers, no longer could come in. And so I was the only chaplain that would come in, and I was a volunteer chaplain. And so during that time of COVID, that's probably why I had it 5 times, because it was just circulating. But also at that time, the Lord seemed to direct us to open a soup kitchen in our community. And so we did that. And so the girls that were going through the program, they were getting jobs, they were getting connected back with their family, then they got an opportunity to serve and give back. And so if you come out of that lifestyle and God changes your life, you have a fire in you and you want to share it with others. And so we gave opportunities for that to happen. And so how much time do I have? All right, let me take a drink. Intermission. So I can't see some of you, you know, so because there's light. So I want to fast forward on this helicopter ride. So that's kind of what my life looked like out of prison. The Lord brought me back into the prison to be a chaplain, and then he gave me opportunities to help lead other women out of brokenness and point them to Christ and help them to do the same. And May the 21st of 2022, I had another whirlwind hit my life. And you know, when you're on the streets and you're dealing with that people group that I came out of, sometimes you forget you're on the streets. And sometimes you forget, even though you've seen a lot of evil in your life, sometimes you get ambushed with evil again. And I was sexually attacked that night and struck really hard in my back, actually. In the back of my head, and I went down. But the Lord gave clarity in it. For a long time, I wondered where he was that night. And that night, I stopped speaking about Jesus because I was mad at him. And the next month was just dark. I couldn't hear him no more. I didn't see him. I wondered where he was, or if he even saw me. So June 21st was the first time that I attempted to end my life. Not ever, but first time in this event. And the Lord intervened that night. But you know what? The next morning, The darkness was still there. The whirlwind was still there. The triggers that had happened that threw me back to other abuses in my life that hasn't been processed or dealt with or healed from. The whirlwind. So the second night, I was going to do the same thing. And I want to stop here and show you that God speaks to you in the whirlwind. And sometimes it's not how you think it's going to be. But I had asked the Lord that night if he saw me. And somehow I was at where I was at. This lady had been trying to get a painting to me because I had commented on how I liked it. And it got to me that night that I was actually intending to take my life that first night. And so when it was given to me, this is what was given to me. You know, I don't know if you can see what this is, but it's a picture of a lion. But to me, it was a picture of the Lion of Judah. The one who saw me. And he had a tear coming down his eye. And that ministered to me in the middle of my whirlwind. And so I was able to go to rest that night. And, okay, we'll do this. But then the next day, you know, I had letters thrown out. I called a good friend of mine. I wanted her memory of me, her last one, to be good. Because she had done so much in my life. Didn't tell her what I was planning. Got off the phone with her. Went to the house. I had a hunting knife that my goal, my plan was I was going to go out to my shed where I would sit and worship and decompress sometimes. And I was going to sit in my rocking chair and I was going to slit both my wrists as I worshiped. I knew where I'd go. But God had another plan. And as I was walking across the kitchen floor of my house, I heard a kaboom. And I thought, what was that? The whole floor of my dining room fell 3 feet off the foundation onto the ground. The Lion of Judah had said, stop. I heard him in the whirlwind, but then he was gone again. So the next day is when I got COVID again for the fifth time. I thought, yes, COVID is going to take me out. I don't have to do it myself. And so, but what happened was the Lord ministered to me during that time. And when I came out of that fog, my house was destroyed that week, let me tell you. I don't know what all I did, but I had some whirlwind. I knew that I had to reach out to people in my life that the Lord had placed that were safe for me. It was hard for me to determine that because so many had said they were safe and proven otherwise. And so, long story short, I walked away 6 months later from ministry. I resigned from ministry because I knew that was the direction the Lord had made that clear, and I needed to heal. And so I moved here through, I was in therapy at the time and had some other counsel. So I knew I needed to get away. So I loaded up a pop-up camper that was about 20 years old and my little fur babies. And I drove all the way up here to the woods of Michigan. And you know, at that time, it was crazy. But I knew I needed to be in a place where I could hear from him. And so for the first week, I think I didn't do anything but sleep in my little pop-up camper. It snowed, actually, at the end of April then. I was like, oh, great. This is fun. And so I had 2 mortgage payments and a truck payment and a business, a food truck that I had opened that I didn't know what I was going to do with. I had a house I was remodeling. I didn't have a job when I came up here. I had a little bit of savings. But the Lord was gracious. I didn't know how I was going to function in a job, honestly. And after about 6 months of of being here, the Lord provided a job. And I just wanted to go in and clock in and out and be a dishwasher and not have to do anything but a routine of washing dishes, you know. I thought I could handle that. And even though I said I resigned from ministry, here's the thing. When the Lord calls you, you don't get to choose to resign from ministry just because you've been through a whirlwind or two, right? Now, we can run, we can hide, but it's just in your DNA. And so before I knew it, after 2 years of working there, the Lord had given me a new mission field. And there are ladies that are lost as a goose, never even heard the gospel. And then there's some that have heard it, but they don't live it. And those irritate me more than the ones that are lost and they don't care that, you know. So, but anyway, so I went from I'm going to be a dishwasher and I'm going to use this opportunity to heal to somehow I became the manager of that kitchen. I don't know how that happened. That was not my intention. And I just wanted to go and be faithfully and serve. So I'm going to get up to this week. Since I accepted the invitation to come here, the fire has turned up in my life. So I think, Sandy, I seen you come in to lunch, was it a couple weeks ago? And I kind of whispered to you, I was like, yeah, pray for me. The spiritual warfare has increased. So I'm not going to say where I work because I don't want people to try to figure it out and be like, oh, I don't want to ever go to that place, because I still want to honor the Lord in this storm that I'm currently going through. So I haven't talked to anyone this week except for Sandy and another friend, basically on the phone, except for outside of work, because the Lord's kept me in a silent place during the whirlwind. But my work environment has become toxic. It had been toxic. And like I said, there's religious people that will put on the front, but behind where no one can hear, it becomes a nightmare. And I've watched as my coworkers have been insulted and talked to like dogs and cussed out and pivoted against each other, and those that have PTSD like myself, triggered on purpose, and drama just stirred. And about 4 weeks ago, I watched this happen to a young lady, and it was hard to watch. But I also watched that supervisor's eyes turned on me. And so, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, I see you. And so you just go in, and she's left out of town this week, and I've kind of had to be in charge of the kitchen. But I went in this week, and this week I've experienced a lot of whirlwind. I was cussed by my manager, accused of something I didn't do. Tried to even speak up to defend myself and couldn't get anything across. And in that moment, I disassociated and I started, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. If you've ever been abused, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have a voice. You just agree, you submit. So I turned from that conversation and walked back in the kitchen. And it took about 5 seconds before that happened, but I had a panic attack because I was triggered. And so in the Lord's kindness, there was a coworker that grabbed me by the shoulders before I was about to go down. And she said, breathe, just breathe. And so she helped me get through that breath, but I couldn't stop crying for hours. And if you know about those panic attacks and when you go through them, it takes a little bit to get out of them, and so I had to go home early. Fast forward the next day, which was Wednesday, you know, there's just a hostile work environment that's been created on purpose, and I'm a target, and it's okay because God gave me a picture because I've been going through the book of Job, and it's like this. He's allowed this to touch my life. I've been serving that club and these ladies and getting to share a little bit about my life along the way. And it's an opportunity for them to see something different. And so I want to suffer well. I haven't always done that. I've wasted a lot of opportunities. to do that. And so that Wednesday afternoon, I have no idea why, but I have a coworker that came up from behind me and kicked me really, really hard on my leg. And I went down. And as I went down, you know, you're trying not to, you don't know what's happening if you've ever been kicked hard like that behind your knee. But when it happened, the pain, I had a new pain that just shot up my back. And of course, I didn't, like I said, didn't know what was happening, but it triggered me. Why? Because the last time that happened to me, when I was hitting the back, it was about 3 years ago. So I knew this week, God has someone he wants to encourage. Because I'm taking a beating. Physically, really, literally, a beating. And so I ended up in the urgent care. And so right now, I still have appointments to come. But right now, I have some tore in my knee, waiting on radiology for the support. And I've got MRIs coming for my back because it burns all the way up my spine and into my neck. And so they have put me on restricted duty so I can still go to work. But I know my time is short. You know, I know the Lord is, he's doing something new. I don't know what it is, but I don't have to because I've lived in the goodness of God. And I've seen him move in ways it would take me days to share all those things on my behalf. And so I don't know what next month looks like. I may be having surgeries, who knows? But he knows. And though the whirlwind is sometimes loud and sometimes it's messy, I've asked him to speak to me in it. And I've called on the God of heaven, just like Nehemiah did, and asked him to fight this battle for me. It's not even my battle. What's going on in the workplace? It's going on everywhere. It's sin. It's evil and light fighting. And light always wins. He always wins. And so he gave me a picture this week of these two dogs on a leash. And they have collars on them. And they're just, you know, when someone's a dog and they're just napping at somebody. But he's holding them. And they can't go any further than he allows them to go. And they might bite me. They might scare me and they might traumatize me. And I might never want to pet a dog again. But ultimately, he's in control. And he holds those leashes. So if your life translates into you have some of that going on in your life, and I mean, if you're living and breathing, you either have or you're going to where you currently are. Be encouraged to keep going. And now I've just realized that I've forgot a part of my testimony that's very important. You see these inks on my arms? One of them says, Heaven Rules. It's got a cross. And this one says, Hold Fast, Jude 20. I put those there because when I had my mental breakdown, I couldn't open this. I was mad at him for one thing, but I couldn't even hear him in it, and I couldn't open it. But I knew I needed truths before my eyes. So the next time I wanted to look at my arms to cut them open, to end it, I would have Heaven Rules looking back at me. Or I would have Hold Fast looking back at me. And so I'm not condoning or magnifying tattoos, but that's just something the Lord used in my life. And so if you all go get tattoos after this week, don't blame Ken. Don't kick me out. No. So, but I do want to just transition here to encourage you that hold fast. Keep going. God's goodness and his mercy and his grace, he runs after us. He chases us. And in the end, he's going to right every wrong. And in the end, he is king and he is Lord. And one day, I don't know when, but I long for the day that I have a community, that I have a safe place to land. and a safe place to fall so that I don't have to keep maybe being in some of those situations. And I don't know where that is. I know I've got a community now where I've had a safe place to land. So he's still working in my life. This is my first speaking engagement for 3 years, so I'm sorry if it was scattered rabbit trails, but if we could have the band. I just want you to, as we end in this song, maybe trace God's hand in your life and just take time here at the end to realize that his goodness, and we can be grateful for that.